Welcome to the Yokoji Zen Mountain Center podcast. Every month we share at least one new talk on the practice of Zen Buddhism at cmc.org/podcast. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, and all other podcast apps. If you find these talks to be valuable, please consider supporting Yokoji by donating at cmc.org/donate. We rely on your support to continue sharing this life-changing practice. Thank you. We hope you enjoy the talk.
Good morning, everyone. So today, I wanted to, change things up a little bit. Usually, I'm doing a koan. But I'd had a challenge probably for the last 30 years from my Izumi Roshi to not just me, but all of his people, to write something that was what he would call a Western Shobo Genzo. I don't regard my writing in a highfalutin way, but it's worthwhile actually making an attempt at this. So I will read The Way of Realization, and I think the first thing is I'll open it for questions, because for me it's clear. For you, maybe not, and then I can expand from that a bit later if there's not much to be said. So this is the Way of Realization. The experience of ordinary mind is like this. All aspects of life are inclusive. There is no place in this mind unreached. As one cannot escape this mind, the thought of escape is delusion itself. The mind is intrinsically universal and encompassing. Why look for something else? Even the senses, their subject and object, have no scene. Through study, it is realized. No lines can be drawn, not even between senses. One sees and hears simultaneously. This multifaceted consciousness flows endlessly, unhindered by reflection. Realization is like this. No doubt, no need to attach meaning or even direction. Being confused about this, we look all over for answers that appear through direct experience. Once all maneuvering ceases, this truth is revealed. There is nowhere else to go. Even fear and suffering are experientially instruments for change. Difficulties and challenges merely a part of mastery. Don't look at cause and effect as reward and punishment. Rather, if you take care of this, you can take care of any future circumstance. The reward is in the living and the doing. Success and failure are narratives around this. If you wish to attain freedom, practice without delay. Wherever you stand, your own mind is no hindrance. See how it works and use the ingredients for the greater good. The five aggregates are how we learn and are empty. They are not fixed and are flexible. Embodiment is their goal. With regard to reality, don't try to fix it. Rather, let this great teaching unfold. Wherever you are is the Pure Land, but do not let your view of purity spoil this. Being unfixed, all states are in realization. Connection apparent. Identity action is as natural as one foot following the other. In this case, good deeds do not arise from social convention, but from the heart. Being in this together, liberation occurs mutually. There is no privileged caste. In terms of effort, exhaust it all until there is no point. Nowhere else to be. The universal storehouse is open. Please don't wait by the door looking in. So if you have any questions or comments, please bring them up. For me, this whenever we talk about Zen or, practice, it's all about this. So saying something about this, it can be endless, or it could end right here. So if you have something, please bring it up now. Okay. Something screen sharing. There was.
Roberto is. There we go.
All right, Roberto.
Dan, go ahead.
Okay. Dan?
Should be able to unmute yourself. Oh, there you go. Sorry, Dan.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Roshi, thank you for writing this. It was very touching to read it when I received it in my email. And
Good. And that's from a writer.
You may have shared some of this during a sesshin maybe last year. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I hadn't finished it at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I was wondering, could you say more about even the senses, their subject and object, have no scene? I mean, it...
Experientially. You know,
it makes me think of Rinzai's six rays of divine light.
Yeah.
You know, ceaselessly shining. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that subject and object not having a scene, that, you know, there's all this input from our senses.
Yeah.
And we're the subject of these objects.
Yeah.
And yet there's no scene there. And I was wondering if you could expand upon that a little bit. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I don't really need to expand on it. There's no scene. Look. You know.
Okay.
You know, see that is directly witnessed. And there's that process that goes on. And we can't, you know, we can do that in language. We can say there's a subject, and we can say there's an object, and we can say there's a process because we're looking at something. But in reality, that's not possible. You know, it's just, I don't know if, did you ever see that Monty Python's, I think it was the German national team versus the philosophers. If you ever get a chance, it's superb. So, you know, the philosophers are all walking around kind of, you know, wondering how to win the game. And the German national team are just scoring goals, you know. And then one of them has a eureka moment, you know, and they just start playing. But they're all in togas and stuff, you know, which is kind of it. Anyway, you get the meaning in it. While you're busy thinking, the world's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And, well, you know, while we're at it, I might as well tell you another funny story. While all the scholars were having their photograph taken at this big event at Stanford University and becoming, you know, being amongst an illustrious crowd, the dog was eating the cold cuts. Again, you know, we really value the head, but the experience and that flowing experience is the most important thing. But having said that, for a period of time, it's important to actually immerse yourself in that and see how that functions and see if that's actually true. You know, because many of us, and I know for myself included, at one point, I really felt that I finished here and then the world started where that boundary was. But that boundary was my own creation. And I really had to look at that for a period of time because... it was a narrative or a conditioning that had been placed on me and I'd bought into by society. That's somebody else's problem, or that's out there, this isn't you. You know, but through experience is that those barriers really, or those seams weren't really there. Those were just ideas, notions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stan. Rita?
Thank you. A couple of comments first and then a question.
Yeah.
What hit me most deeply emotionally was the very last sentence. Please don't just wait by the door looking in. I just sensed very deep compassion. Yeah. To want everybody to.
Yeah, sure. Enter. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, then, I mean, I don't want just one or two. I'd like everybody. That's my greed.
A good greed.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't mean that in a condescending way either. Is that, you know, a lot of people just don't realize what they have. You know, we have this entire universe that is our sense sphere on a momentary basis. But most of the time it's like, well, it could be this way if I was such a way, rather than opening that up and going, well, yeah, the world is like this, you know. So start using the treasure that we already have rather than waiting for something else to occur.
You know. Well, I very much appreciate the compassion that you show. Well, another line that hit me was, don't look at cause and effect as reward and punishment. And that just kind of cleared away some cobwebs. Like it's just cause and effect. Yeah. I don't have to have any emotion of, oh, I was rewarded, or, oh, shoot, I was punished.
Yeah. Yeah. And in many ways, it doesn't matter because it's the experience of this, which is the important thing. There was a funny story, you know, Shishin Roshi, my Dharma brother. He was one of the previous heads of the White Plum. After the fire and floods that we had, well, after the fire and the fact that the center was saved, he goes, I really thought you guys were really virtuous, that the fire had actually skipped you and that. He goes, and then the floods came and flooded you out, and then I just realized you were like everybody else. I mean, it's funny, but a lot of people work along those lines. I mean, some people don't think that you should have misfortune, so-called misfortune. You know, like it says in the Heart Sutra, it says, thus completely clears misfortune and pain. You know, but what is misfortune? You could say that misfortune actually is an opportunity. You know, and pain, you know, pain when you're in the midst of it is just pain. There's nothing else around it. There's no objective kind of looking at it and story that goes around it. When you're in it, that's completely your experience. You know, and so with this cause and effect, allow the rewards and punishment to take care of itself. You don't need to worry about that. Just take care of the place that you're in. You know, a lot of people go, you know, if I spend 10 years practicing, then I will have this. But, you know, personally, nobody gave me a contract when I first started practicing or when I was born that the world was going to be in a certain way and I would get certain rewards. You know, or else I would hold that person accountable if they were. But we, for some reason, you know, myself, I have these things. Well, I've done this, therefore, you know, etc. In fact, I used to have a guy that I used to work with, and his mind worked very much in that way. He was an ex-con. And he used to work with my cousin, and I worked with him. And then one day, because he hadn't been paid gas for something, he goes, okay, I'm going to take this sack of cement. And he goes, I'm going to take the sack of cement because, your cousin didn't pay me for gas for this. And so he'd done his homework, and he was the judge, jury, and the executioner, and he took the sack of cement, you know. And we, you know, as human beings, we tend to do things along those lines rather than look at a situation. What is it? How do I live to the best of my ability now? And then move on to the next thing. You know, we put these standards over the top of it.
Thank you. And then a question on the five aggregates.
Yeah.
What are aggregates?
Well, originally, you know, the in Sanskrit or Pali, it was the five skandhas. In the skandhas, they're basically five ways of which we learn as human beings. Roughly translated, it's aggregate. It's like aggregates of things. Say you're making concrete. You use water, cement, sand, and gravel, and maybe steel if you're doing that. So those are things that make up one thing. Those are the things that make us up as human beings. Now, if you look at the aggregates that they're, or scanners that they're talking about, this is you see things, and then you have certain feelings around them, and then you start to categorize them, want more or less. And then you begin to do those things over and over, either in avoidance or in I want more, until they're embodied. And that's the fifth one. And so that's how, you know, and that's how we learn. Now, when I say the flexible is that as human beings, we can see things as they are. And that's as far as it has to go. Or we can see things and we can have feelings around them. But it doesn't have to go any further. Or we can see things, have feelings around them, and then start to, you know, categorize them and want more or less of those things. You know, especially that's useful in addiction. Every time I drink, I get these feelings. I don't necessarily want those things, so I'm gonna make sure that I'm very aware of this process that's going along. And if I do that, I stay away from that, and then eventually that non-drinking is embodied. And then you see this in sports people too, you know, like playing soccer, I may do tricks and I'll do those tricks and I get to the point I'm so frustrated around it. And then suddenly the frustration goes and I'm doing it and then I keep on doing it and then it's embodied. Then I don't need to think about it. And then practice is very much in this way, is that we see that the learning process is very flexible. It doesn't need to just go in the same way that it's always gone in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. There was something else from the previous question, but it was something that Mayuzumi Roshi said, but I've forgotten it now, so that's gone. Thank you.
Thanks, Rita. Rhonda, go ahead.
Rhonda.
Rhonda?
Hi. Hi, Rhonda.
Okay. Hi, Tenzin.
Good seeing you.
This may be off subject, but what I had read when you said the wellness, that, and then one of your lines said, don't try to fix it. Well, that I find that very profound, because if you persist, it will, no, if you resist, it will persist.
Yeah.
And so then I'm just, the whole thing about what we're all into, the world, the country, the COVID-19, the vaccine won't happen till maybe March, and we have to take two of them. And then COVID is it's a wake-up call for the universe. Mm-hmm. And then the Black Lives Matter is a wake-up call.
Yeah.
It's like, wake up. And then the climate change, it's a wake-up. So we're going through a transition in life. And, you know, like everybody's going to go into the digital age to where we're all going to be working from home. Everything's going to be like Zoom, which this is fine.
Possibly.
But I think that's the wave of the future. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's how it is. It's going to be at my work. Mm-hmm. But I just, I've always felt that I was a progressive thinker. But then how... Mm-hmm. Do you deal with people who are constantly in denial? Do I just not look at the news? Do I just sit down and meditate? I mean, the denial is really aggravating.
It is. It is aggravating. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's the, you know, it's dealing with the narrative. You know, that is the difficult thing. And And then finding out where, you know, people are getting sources from. But experientially, you know, it seems that each of these things is happening. So it's important to deal with them. It's the same as dealing with people, though. It's not everybody is going to act on what's in front of them, you know. What's seen, I mean, again, for me, a lot of it is around a state of mind that really doesn't want to get engaged with things. They want things to be as they are and leave them in boxes. Uh-huh. You know, it's just like, we start off with the Black Lives Matter thing is that, and I've said this before, you know, I don't deal with the black race. I deal with individuals who may happen to be black or whatever color. And I found out individually what they are. I don't put a bunch of things on them. So if you're dealing with other people that are coming out with a narrative that is around these people are like this, is question that and try and go with the their whatever they're putting forward rather or their scheme rather than the stance that they're taking. And then I find that I can, you know, I can deal with people a little bit better along those lines. You know, if I take
when you say take a stance, like ask them why you feel that way.
Well, no, I mean, you know, are all black people this way? Are you saying that black people are like this rather than, well, what about so and so and so and so and so and so? You know, because it's individuals. I remember listening to Morgan Freeman, and he goes, and I think the interviewer was saying, "Would you like to be regarded as a, you know, a progressive black man?" And he says, "No, I am a good human being." And that's right. You know, those things is we tend to put these labels on because it's easier right. to deal with people. It's like with climate change. As you talk about climate change becomes a box. Is these things uh-huh. rather than looking, yeah, for the last few years, the temperatures have been rising here. And if anybody tries to argue that with me, I'll show them the statistics. And, you know, I mean, it's obvious. And it's been, yeah. you know, and it's just like with each thing is if you can deal with the things that people are doing experientially, you've got a lot better chance than going with this thing called climate change, which becomes, in some cases, verboten. You just don't go there simply because it can't be looked at experientially. Mm-hmm. You know, and then even with things like COVID.
Go ahead.
I couldn't hear. Your face was there, but there was no voice coming out.
No, but, I mean, some people don't go on scientific reason.
No. Change. Well, there's very little you can do. But, you know, I mean, just the important thing is look at where that narrative's coming from. And if there's a chance, then, you know. Uh-huh. But then with the other one with COVID is that, you know, we've known since the 13th century that you wear masks, or maybe, you know, at least maybe a little later than that. If you wear masks and socially distance, there's less chance of doing that. But for, you know, of catching COVID. But it's just like people don't want that kind of infringement on their own freedoms. But again, it's a lazy way of being. People don't want the extra effort it takes to bond and to interact with other people. They want it to be a certain way, which it isn't, you know, on that level. But the thing is that I don't expect to reach a vast number of people. In fact, you know, is that if a few people really listen to what's going on and do some changes, that's a great thing.
Yeah, I just have difficulty listening to that other side of
yeah,
the fence.
Yeah, me too.
For lack of better words. Yeah. It's just like, don't you get it? I mean, let's educate America. Let's educate it. It has nothing to really do with politics.
But it does with business.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, you have to remember where the money's going. That's one of the things to really look at in a lot of this. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know politics. I don't want to get into a political argument or whatever now. But it's important to look at how the money flows, and a lot can be seen along those lines.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rhonda. Kyle.
Kyle.
You are unmuted.
So even if I can't see you, you can speak.
I think I was having mic issues. Anyway, I echo the appreciation for this poem or the verse. And I think so many of my questions are those that you can't answer for me with them.
No, that's important. Those are the ones you have to answer. Those are ones that really open you up.
Right. And so the one clarifying question I do have is the line that says this multifaceted consciousness flows endlessly. That's clear, but unhindered by reflection. Can you clarify what you mean?
Yeah, no matter if I start going, well, I was born in Manchester in 1955, then... Yeah.
Cognitive reflection.
Yeah. I'm not looking at mirror reflection. You know, even mirror. It's not hindered by that.
Yeah. Okay. That was a simple clarifying question. That's all.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's important in terms of like, we go, well, I think too much or I'm this way. And if I could, then I would be a better Zen student or whatever. It's not really true. It's that it's always here. And then part of the thing as a human being, it's like when my Mizumi Roshi would talk, that was the thing I was thinking about for the Rita's question a while back. My Mizumi Roshi would say, you've got to swallow yourself whole. And that's everything. You know, you're good, you're bad, how you feel about yourself, how you feel about, you've got to swallow that whole, and there's no escape from this.
Yeah,
and that's part of, you know, looking at the door, looking in at the treasury. You got to swallow it all because you get the good, the bad, everything there. That whole treasury is there when you accept that fact. Can't be someone else. Too bad. Doesn't mean that I stop work on those things that cause the problems. But you know, this is who I am, and I will feel whatever it is when I get feedback in that way. You know.
Yeah, and there's this sense that it comes that's, you know, no matter how shitty I think I am or how whatever I think, it's like, it that doesn't matter at all, here you are. And, I mean, that's more reflective of just where I'm at in my own process. But there is this, like, wonderful piece that is just, like, think all you want about yourself and who you are. It really bears nothing on this. So thank you for that. This is a really wonderful thing to have in hand.
Yeah, and again, you know, don't stick on the intrinsic aspect. You know, the thing is, if something needs work, do it.
Of course, that's the easy part for me right now. So the rest, the other stuff is where attention is needed. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. Good seeing you.
Thank you, Kyle. Emma?
Hi, Roshi.
Hey, Emma.
You said, what is it? Your own mind is no. Hey, you said your own mind is no hindrance. Mine feels like it is.
Yeah. Well, what can I say? You know. Well, how does it stop you? How does it stop you living?
It goes off thinking about things all the time.
But you're still living.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that this is it and all the stuff in the poem.
Yeah.
Or not very.
Well, you know, this is from my experience, and if it's helpful, then use it. But if you really think it doesn't work for you, then don't use it, you know. I'm serious.
I feel it's my mind that's stopping me from seeing it. If it's not my
now, remember is that your mind is the whole shebang. It's not just your thought process.
Yeah.
Because at the same time you think, you're seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling. All of those things are occurring. So don't give priority just to thought. Because thought will box you into a very tight box where you can't move very much.
That's what I mean about it being a hindrance,
Okay. Well then use try and use that to liberate yourself. Use the other parts that are there. If that's the way you feel. Otherwise, you've defined yourself. You're in a box. I'm hindered. I won't get out.
Yeah. I don't want to do that.
No. So then, there's an opening there, and that's that aspect of no hindrance that is always there for you on a, whenever you choose to pick that up.
Okay. Thank you.
Best I can do right now. Thanks. Hey, Emma. Thank you.
Thank you, Emma.
Okay.
have you got more? I was not trying to shut you off. Okay.
Oh, she's
gone.
Anya, you're next.
Yes, thank you, Roshi, for this. And I love the connection to Dogen and to a lot of the expressions of wise words to students. We had talked about the use of mastery, and I just throw this out briefly, and you don't have to respond to it, but difficulties and challenges merely part of the tempering is what occurred to me when I read this.
That could be it too. Yeah. That's not a bad word.
I like the fact that it builds furnace and it strengthens what we do, what we have moving for us, and what we have in our embodiment. I want to go back, and I appreciated Rhonda's comments on in regard to reality. Don't try to fix it. I have to laugh because of course there's no way I can fix reality. Yeah. Reality is reality.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think fix here is more like, take a snapshot and then start to deal with it in that way.
Yes, being said, someone might say, well, you're just saying I should just sit here and do nothing.
Yeah.
Good. I'm always cautious about that. I don't want to feel I'm going to stay and I'm going to try to fix things that need to be fixed.
Yeah.
That's my reality.
Yeah.
And that is part of reality. It doesn't say that I'm going to succeed or that reality is going to do what it will. But I do think that's it's a tricky line.
It is. Yeah. But let me just explain a little bit where I say fix it is like, people will go, well, reality is really good when I sit or when I go walking in a certain place, rather than, the mind encompasses things like loss. So when you lose somebody, the mind is in a certain way, which is a lot different than when you just say just sitting or just walking or doing whatever. When you're absorbed with somebody, say in a game, then the mind is a lot different at that point. When you're looking at a sunset, the mind is a lot different. Now, as a story that you may remember, there was a young man that came to the center. No names, but he got so fixated on Zazen and single pointedness that when he left the center, he got in his Volkswagen and got fascinated by the ground moving under the hood in front of him, and then went off the road. So again, this is the point of trying to fix reality: is that when you're driving, you just drive. When loss comes in, there is just the loss. There's no escape from that. You just be it. When there's great success or great reward, you be that. That's just how life is. But it shouldn't be a certain way. It is as is. And that's more what I'm saying with fixing. Some people go, well, meditation's really working. This is all I'm going to do is focus on this. So when they get out, is that they expect the world to be like meditation rather than meditation is like this right now. And even with meditation, you know, there's ups, there's downs. The thing is, be the container for all of these experiences.
I love the sense of the word fit.
Yeah.
It can be used as
it's carpentry term.
And yeah. Fix like stay in place.
Yeah, yeah.
Or fit like repair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Some of these old words are really good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Good.
Thanks, Anya. So we have several hands up, and I did see some people who unmuted themselves without raising your hand. You're also in the queue, and we have several requests in chat. So I will try to get to everything. But Jill, you're up next.
Okay. Hi, Tension.
Hi, Jill.
Hi. Okay, so I have a burning question.
Those are the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just finished reading your book, Way of Zen.
Yeah.
And there was something in there, and then something you said in this reading, and they echo sort of the same thing. And then I had a question. So in the book, you say, in reality, we have to deal only with the present moment, and this mm-hmm. we can always handle. And yep. then in the reading, you said, rather, if you take care of this, you can take care of any future circumstance.
Yeah.
So my question is, it feels like a theme, and I noticed that you're not saying that, you know, I can probably or we will probably be able to take care of things. You're emphatic that it's like a certainty that we can and will take care of the next thing. And I'm just wondering, like, if you can expand on.
Well, I got some feedback from a couple of my Dharma brothers and sisters. And I put down the odds are that you will.
Okay.
And then they didn't like that. They knew what I was saying, but the thing is that, you know, the truth of the matter is that it doesn't mean there's a prescribed outcome for those things later on. Is that if I focus on this and I have no story of success or failure around it, I can take care of this, I can immerse into it, and I can really learn from it. If I do that, then that same process occurs later, whether it's, you know, horrendously difficult or it's easy. You know, is that my mind resides here, then it resides here, no matter what it is that I'm doing. You know, and there's tons of stories that I can tell myself is a person like me shouldn't be going through this. You know, but then why? You know, this is what, and I always have to tell myself that is, you know, well, are you going through this right now? Yes. It goes, well, you haven't mastered this yet. This is what needs to be done, you know, on that level.
But even if you, do we master it, though? I mean, that seems...
Well, it depends on what you mean by mastery, is that Anya was using the word tempering. You know, knowing a little bit about tempering is that... I'm thinking about it again now, is that, you know, once you do all the work in, then you heat that up, and then you dip it, and then it's ready. But with mastery, it's ongoing, at least the masters that I know. You know, that never ends. I'm all, like, personally, I'm always learning. And that doesn't mean just in the Zen context. It means in carpentry, everything that I do is new and fresh, even though I've done it 1,000 times. Because, you know, it's organic. It all needs my attention to make the best possible outcome in that process. So that's what I call mastery. It's not like now I am above everything. And I've done all of that and I don't need to do it anymore, which some people regard as mastery. That's not the mastery I'm talking about. In fact, when I used to go to do the sessions in England, I met with Lord Blundell, who was the guy that ran the whole retreat center and all the land around it. And, you know, I was talking with the Lord there, and he goes, it was kind of nice. He goes, no, my name's Mark, you know. And he goes, my family has been looking after this property since the 13th century with, you know, how many thousand people on that land. Now, this is another aspect. And I was going, wow, you know, on one level, he's a servant there and he cared about the people that were there. So this is another aspect of mastery too. We tend to, you know, look at a form of mastery, which is somebody's got the title and label and they're not really using it to the best of their ability. But the way that I'm doing it is that mastery is an ongoing process that never ends. And we tried to use other words there as well, but none of them really fitted. You know, it's even with tempering. You can only temper something once. And then the steel's spoiled if you try and do it twice. You know, and that's kind of interesting is that, you know, quite often in Zen practice, we say that the practice is like making a sword. And the training period, which we're entering into, Steph started this morning, is just like it's the heating up process now. And we, you know, in a while, then it'd be the beating process, beating into shape, you know. And then when you've got that, then it's got to be heated again. And then you let it cool for a bit. And that's the interim process. And it's the same for us as human beings in our daily life. It's important to have the more intense times, which you can do in your own home for a day, a week, 3 months. You can mirror what we're doing and then use that. But then it's important to have those chill periods so that the mind then, you know, can relax and then, you know, then you can go. And otherwise you get burnout. So, I mean, it was worthwhile telling that story too, but that's the way I look at practice too, is these heating up times are important, but the relaxation is really important too. Just let the mind relax and then the practice becomes a little bit more natural rather than the forced aspects.
Yeah, it's like you're able to process it. It goes inside your body versus just up here all the time. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Jill. Jim, Lakey.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can see Thomas. I can hear you too, yeah.
My webcam's down, so you get to look at Thomas.
Yeah, okay. It's not live, is it?
he's not that still unless he's sleeping.
Yeah. Carry on.
It's actually the same line that grabbed my attention. This one, take care of this, you can take care of any future circumstance.
Yeah.
And for me, I feel like that, it really resonates with me and describes well most of my experience and the experience I've had with doing Zen practice, especially, you know, in the center, where you really get in the rhythm of the schedule and you just take care of things. And there's almost a kind of a sense of faith in that. And you can kind of settle into that sense.
Yeah.
And that's really supported me in my life and my practice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what's changed for me this year is that, you know, with COVID, I've been dealing with fear and anxiety that I wasn't anticipating.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't mean that in terms of anticipating as in no one saw this coming, as in I thought I was more settled in my own sense of security in my own practice.
I was
taken by surprise at how swept away I was by circumstance. And I'm still kind of dealing with that and trying different things and experimenting.
Yeah.
But one thing I've found is that sometimes I almost feel like I can't take care of this. You know, there's a sense of overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't last long. It, you know, it'll usually kind of settle again.
Yeah.
But I know that when I'm feeling like that, I'm kind of constricting. I'm splitting the light, you know, the classic thing, and I can see myself doing it. I'm pushing things away that I'm afraid of and not letting them in.
Yeah.
And then that gives me then a sense of doubt, but I can take care of future circumstances.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of in the process of working with this.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear what you have to say about
it. Well, you know, Jim, I mean, this is why you're a good student. You can articulate what's actually going on. I remember, you know, I had, you know, that kind of confidence about the world and how things are working. I remember one of the things that blew it away for me was, you know, I thought when I had kids, it was like I was used to not sleeping, you know, and because of the schedule, you know, a lot of times I didn't sleep much. And then Nick was born and he didn't seem to like sleeping much. And especially on the nights where I was looking after him, which was every other night. And I remember sometimes, you know, he'd want to play with me in the middle of the day and I'd be just wrecked, you know, and I'd be going, I can't practice in the midst of this. And then I remember asking myself, this was the answer to this particular thing as well. What's practice meant to look like? You know, so then is that I just being dog tired, I did the best that I possibly could. It wasn't meant, practice is meant to look like something. So when I'm going through that is I make sure that I feel whatever's going on. And that fear, I mean, it's like with COVID with us, you know, is that financially, we're really going to take a hit. And it's like, you know, we've had times when we've been down to, you know, three to six months operations, you know, but the thing is that practice isn't meant to look like something. It's just like, how do I do the best in the midst of this? And then the future usually takes care of itself. I know that if I follow my own demons, this is what's going to happen. You're going to end up in this, this, and this. That story is equally true, is that we're going to get through this fine because they're just stories. But if I deal with this, is there's a much better chance of being able to, you know, come through this in a, you know, in a integrated and present way. Anyway, that's the best I can say right now.
Yeah.
But we feel deeply, you know, and with realization, we feel deeply. But it's important also is that the living is occurring now. No matter what, no matter how bad it is, the living is still, you know, occurring now. And usually yeah. There's more support from the universe than we think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and the flip side, of course, is that, you know, it sounds almost cliched, but it really, this year has been an amazing opportunity to practice and times to see opportunities for change,
yeah. Yeah.
Change in directions, which I'm really appreciating because, you know, I know for me, my year is usually blocked out way ahead because we know what we're going to be doing work-wise for
yeah.
A year, 18 months ahead. And I know exactly what my year would have looked like pretty much otherwise. And
yeah.
Now it's completely different as is for the whole world.
Yeah.
And as difficult as it's been, you know, I felt a renewed appreciation of this practice and of the Sangha, you know, and just all the
yeah.
things that I kind of learned to value
yeah.
through this practice. It's so easy to go through to daily life. And for me, you know, I maintain a half hour sitting practice in the mornings. I do my sitting group. And, you know,
yeah.
I have this kind of background sense of appreciation or something like this. But then when it really comes down to moments like this, it's incredible how important something like this
yeah.
becomes.
Yeah.
Know? So, you know, thank you for providing it and being that support for so long because it's just been incredibly valuable.
Oh, shucks, Jim. Yeah. You know, I mean, the important thing, you know, it's like Maizumi Roshi would say is, it would say two things, just keep on going. And I thought that was a real loser mentality, you know, when I was practicing with him. But it's just like, no, you keep on going. You are practicing no matter what. You know, And it, there it is. And again, that the secret in, say, Dogen's teaching, where he goes, practice realization. And again, it's not another realization, it's this realization. Whatever I realize, or whatever is being realized or made real at this moment in time, practice that over and over and over. And then the ways that we spoil this world by bringing in intoxicants tends to drop off. And this reality is so amazing what we have. You know, I don't like to use those highfalutin words like amazing, but, you know, just look at what we have in terms of our own life, no matter where we live, you know. How can you put a value on that? It's incredible. Yeah, thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim. Terry and Penny.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you, Roshi, for writing this. It's very powerful.
Yeah, oh, good.
I was reflecting that this is what you wrote is reflected in every Dharma talk I've ever heard from you, and vice versa. Every Dharma talk I've heard reflected in this. So I just love that. Connection.
Well, now you don't have to watch another one. You're all good.
Okay. You're fixed.
Well, in this moment, I do have a question. I think the lines might connect it. I think it's being unfixed, all states are in realization. Connection apparent, identity action is as natural as one foot following the other. I'm not sure I understand identity action.
Compassion. I didn't want to use the word compassion because it's become a cliche. So okay. I used a different thing. So I look around me, this is my life. And so, you know, that's what I call compassion. And there's a feeling for the people. So then it comes in regard with that. So it's a more natural way of experiencing the world. It's rather than I'm a compassionate person, so therefore I will do this. And that's why the next lines, you know, I haven't memorized it or anything, but where it goes, it's not part of social convention. You know, this comes from the heart, how you actually feel about things. We see too much of that, you know. I mean, but that's still great that people do that, but it's just like, no, this needs to be done, therefore it will be done.
Apparent connection is just the real.
We're in this together.
And yet everything's all. We can't separate.
Yeah, I mean, we're born into this world like this. Nothing's added or taken away, you know.
Right.
But that's the thing to realize, you know. That's. I mean, we've been saved from the start. And I don't mean save for later either, you know. I mean, you know, it's just like, grab it, you know. Here you go.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. And also, I'd like to say I do identify with a lot of what Jim had to say.
Yeah.
With the anxiety. And
I feel it too.
I do find if I do not put a narrative on it, and the anxiety is much reduced. Mm-hmm. If I just, you know, try to deal with it, okay, I can do this right now. I can wipe this down and put it away without worrying. I can do this. I can wear a mask when I go to the doctor's office, and, you know, and just do that, and, you know, keep on going moment by moment. So that really helps. So thank you.
It does. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, along those lines around fear, there was this. It's a pretty funny Zen story, but it's a traditional one. And there was this attendant who was unflappable. He was, you know, he was getting on in life, and so these two young monks decided to scare the hell out of him. So they waited in this corridor and dressed up as like Japanese ghosts, and he's carrying the tea very mindfully off to see the Roshi, and and then they jump out, you know, and the guy just continues going until he gets into the room, puts the cup down, then there's a real good lesson in that, you know, don't just look at that from the outside, you know, it's just, we can still function through these things, but be honest to your own feelings too, you know.
Good thing he didn't have a startle reaction.
Yeah. Might have been good. He might have soaked the two guys, you know. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Terry. Rich, if you still have a question, you can unmute now.
Roshan, how are you doing?
Hey, Rich.
Yeah, I just want to say that's a great poem. Really is.
Yeah.
I have a question regarding towards the end. You say, being in this together, liberation occurs mutually, much like this subject and object at the beginning. Could you talk about that? That's something I've always had a problem with, especially when I was a young student, that realization would help, you know, I and all beings attain liberation.
Together. Well, nothing's on the outside of that.
Right.
You know, so that's it. And you know, I can't stop simply because there has been certain realization. And that's that mutual aspect. And I'm learning from people on a momentary basis.
Okay.
They're teaching me. Everybody's teaching me. It's not always, you know, what you regard positive. You know, everything's positive. It's just that I learn by how people do things, how they be. How you know, and then that can be used in terms of teaching. That teaching's going on mutually all the time.
Okay.
You know, it's like Maizumi Roshi would say, you know, you think that you know, I that you get a lot out of my teaching, but can you imagine? He goes, I get so much out of all of you and your teaching on a momentary basis. And that's true. And as soon as we set up a dynamic like that, it allows that teaching to go in both ways. You know, which is a lot different than usually how society works. There are some people that have the stuff they give and there's not, they don't recognize or acknowledge the stuff that's coming back in that respect.
Well, thank you. That actually works.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, Rich. Liam, do you have a question or comment?
Hi there.
Hi, Liam.
Hi there. Great to see you again.
You too.
This Sunday, Sunday thing is becoming it's like going to mass every Sunday for me, you know.
Is that right?
The old Catholic days. Yeah. No, it's not like that at all.
I never got the wine, though. But, that was the, you know.
Actually, we didn't either, but the Sunday practice, you know. So, but this, like, having that poem come in during the week then was like a bit of extra homework, you know. So, I could be a Buddhist, you know, more than just one day a week.
Okay.
Anyway. But the overall impression that I got, well, actually, it's seeping into my life little by little by little. You know, but it's not so much being a Buddhist; it's just the beingness of, you know, what's actually, you know, what you're plugged into, and what is there to be plugged into.
Yeah,
and the overall impression from that poem was one of deep acceptance of the way things are.
Yeah.
But it's not just the way things are, it's the way I am as well.
Yeah.
So
I'm
part of the thing and the thing is part of me. And it's not separate. And I've always kind of looked at it as being kind of separate.
Yeah.
You know, so like, but to accept it brings the whole thing closer together that I'm not sort of so full of it should be this way or I should be that way.
Yeah.
It's more like this is the way it is. And then that makes room for kind of lightness, you know, things aren't as heavy, the anxiety, the everything just lifts.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, and it's a starting point, you know, and that's great, you know. It's not just the acceptance, it's okay, what can I do now as well? You know, that's part of it.
Yeah, it's not a passive just acceptance. Yeah. That's just the way things are. And that's, you know, like, I'm very much involved in the way things are. And then my appreciation of that deepens. And then the much deeper it is, the easier it is to be, you know, light in the, you know, in interaction with other people. Because, you know, I've always said, I think we all have a problem interacting with other people.
Yeah.
And their attitudes, like, kind of impinge on us, and then we react.
Yeah, yeah, all sorts yeah.
Whereas, you know, that act of acceptance allows for that to come in and just go out, and it doesn't affect the way I feel.
Yeah.
Now, I'm, as you say, it's a starting point. I'm only learning this, but thank you very much for pointing that out in that poem, because that's the way it came across.
Oh, great. Good. And that, you know, it's good to get that feedback too. And, you know, always remember, Buddhism is just the way of awakening. You know, and that, and obviously that's a process in that way.
But the way, like, say, you know, I've looked at lots of other ways as well besides Buddhism. Mm-hmm. So, like, with the Christianity, you know, I didn't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I am the way, the truth, and the light.
Yeah.
You know, Lao Tzu, you know, the way, Buddha, the way, you know, it's the same way. There is no difference in that.
Yeah.
Oneness is there.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to integrate it all, but the realization is it's already integrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have to do anything really.
No.
I can put my maths book away.
Good. I'm glad.
All right.
Well, thanks,
Liam. Thank you very much.
It's good seeing you. Yeah.
Yeah, and you.
Sweet. All right.
Thank you, Liam. All right, so it's 12:30, but we still have hands and chat. And all right, so Bruce fine. And then Tom Boyton. So Bruce, you're up.
Hello.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Tom. Good morning.
Hey. Good morning, Los Angeles.
Yeah, hot is Hades here. No, Hades is not hot.
Well, they're saying in Spanish, más calor de nalga de diablo.
The nalgas?
The diablo. Yeah. Hotter than the devil's ass. Yeah.
Okay. Because the devil likes to eat chili, and chili is not chilies.
Carry on.
First I was going to say, you know, I appreciate you putting yourself out like this, because it's easier to read somebody else's poem and then talk about it than, you know, you're putting yourself out there, you know, so that's very cool. I like the way it starts here. The experience of ordinary mind is like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, all aspects of life are inclusive. There is no place in this mind unreached.
Yeah.
That's very cool. It was kind of reminding me, and I hate to make all these analogies and everything, but maybe I won't then.
Good. Are you done?
I have a lot of stuff to say now. Kind of goes by the wayside. But I would say some questions for me still exist. And you know, for instance, like, you know, things are like this, basically. Yeah. Things are like they are. And then also I have my preferences.
Yeah.
You know. And so, you know, some things are good. Some I like, some things I like that.
Yeah.
But then that's the way things are, too. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, you know, I have this bag, let's say, that I'm going to put all those stuff in it. That is the way things are. And then I got this other bag, which is like the way things aren't. And I'm putting stuff away. And pretty soon I find out that everything goes into this one bag, which is the way things are. And there's nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Except then, you know, comes that point, like, you know, here toward the end here, you say the universal storehouse is open.
Yeah.
So don't just wait by the door looking in.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, to be the devil's advocate or whatever, is that, you know, that's the way it is too, you know.
Yeah.
But of course, when I say that, then, you know, am I happy with that? You know, why did I come to Zen practice? Was there something that, I wanted to get?
Yeah.
And just sitting by the door looking in doesn't quite cut it.
Right.
You know, Dogen Zenji had that question when he was a kid or whatever, you know, like if everything is the Buddha way, then why do we have to study? You know, why do we have to practice? Also, that word actualization always bothered me. You didn't use it here, but you said here, it says here, through study it is realized.
Yeah. Made real. Even, yeah.
So, I guess this is the sense of it for me. So now I can bring in my whatever. When Moses saw the burning bush, the voice said, you know, take your shoes off. This is holy ground.
Yeah.
You know, so he's in a mountain and there's goat shit all over, rocks, everything, you know. But it's like, this is holy ground, which is, you know, just another way of saying, you know, this is this, you know.
Yeah.
All this is this. It's holy ground. So then how do I, you know that, how do I practice that then? How do I actualize it? How do I make it real, I guess is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and for me, it's, you know, look at those ideas, notions that I raise up that take me away from this, that spoil this. You know, it's right. Like, it's again, like in the precept, do not be intoxicated. The original implication there was do not bring in intoxicants. You know, so the world is like this, and then I can really get intoxicated with the ideas, notions, and beliefs and get upset and all kinds of stuff. You know, rather than just go, wait a minute, that's secondary. It's not the first thing. The first thing is direct experience, and then just do that. And knowing that difference is very important in terms of practice. And seeing that process and how it works, being able to put it on one side. You know, just like Dogen says in the Fuken Sazengi, for the time being, put this on one side. Because I know that those things cause problems. They don't improve my lot. I can bring them in, but they don't necessarily improve the world and my interactions with people around me.
Yeah, when you told me a week or so ago, or asked me or whatever, you know, to look at those thoughts or ideas that I have and see where they come from, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, doing that, I can really see that they, you know, they disappear really. You know,
yeah.
I look for them, no place. There's no real, and that's kind of a very comforting thing. A lot of people were talking about it, and I also have my problems.
Yeah, everyone does.
Yeah, I'm human.
Yeah.
But when I reflect on how I appreciate this moment, it really doesn't depend on all those things that I'm afraid are going to be taken away.
Yeah, yeah. Might make them sweeter. Yet,
well, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it's my very worry about that is taking the enjoyment of this moment away. I'm doing it myself, you know.
Yeah.
By that action, you know. So that's a very funny thing. So anyway, I appreciate you doing this. Like I said, I like this very much.
Thanks, Bruce. You take care, eh?
Bruce, yeah, you too.
Thank you, Bruce.
Bye.
Tom, do you still have a question or comment?
Roshi.
Hey, Tom.
How are you, sir?
Good. Yourself?
Perfect.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. so many things came up today for me, and I've been jotting things down. I've been so impressed by the shares and the
it's been nice, huh?
Yeah, they're really good. And I really need this.
Hello?
Whoops.
We lost you. Tom, we just can't hear you right now.
I think he actually got disconnected.
Okay, well, let's do it. Can we go on?
Yeah, there's some questions in chat. Ralph, I just wanted to know, I think your lines have been addressed, but if you still have a question, please retype it if you don't mind. Omar asks, following up to Rhonda's question, wherever you are is the pure land, but do not let your view of purity spoil this. Is this a way of saying that ideologies contaminate our view of reality?
Yeah.
Because it seems to me that we are very much in an us versus them climate at the moment.
Mm. Yeah.
People divided and such. And it seems a shame that, as you say, with regard to reality, let its great teaching unfold. We seem not to be learning much from what is happening. We subscribe to an ideology, yet we only minimally change our behaviors, whether as producers or consumers or as speakers and listeners, as teachers, learners, etc.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was addressing that when I was talking about bringing in intoxicants. There's the experience of this and then the ideologies that go over the top. And, you know, I agree, we get polarized, but it's also important just to see where our information's coming from and then try and connect with the other person if it's possible in certain ways. Yeah.
Thanks,
thank you.
Roshi. Roberto, I was rereading Way of Realization. Is this passage a typo? Oh.
What?
What?
The whole thing, yeah, it's a typo.
What is connection apparent? Being unfixed, all states are in realization. Connection apparent, identity action is as natural as one foot following the other.
Yeah, I addressed that somewhat, you know, but again, is connection to me is apparent. You know, we're in this together. I mean, that's the obvious thing. So that's where I get that identity action aspect is that I didn't want to use the word compassion, but I see in what is there, and if an action is necessary, then that's done because of that connection, that direct experience. And then, you know, then that natural action is just, it fits in with whatever is occurring. Did I answer that?
I think so.
I guess so.
Yeah. Shogun, can you unpack the line, being confused about this, we look all over for answers that appear through direct experience. Are you saying that this is appearing through direct experience or the answers we're looking for?
Both.
All over.
Both. You know, the thing is quite often we intellectually look for something rather than forgetting that momentary realization is coming in. And then if you focus on that, then the questions that we have about it then become integrated with our direct experience. It's like, for instance, I had Maizumi Roshi had given me a poem at the end of my Shuso Hosen. And for 12 years, I tucked it in the back of my mind. Occasionally it would come up. And then through living, then eventually the answer was apparent. And with most of the things I was concerned about, you know, deep realization, forgetting the self, all of those things. But then by doing those things, living those things on a momentary basis, then they became real for me. I didn't need to work it out in my head. Where I was looking all over for these things, they're actually happening on a momentary basis. And so the focus is on direct experience. And that's where the Soto school doesn't have much about achieve this great realization that happens later. You know, it's just like practice this realization, practice this, then it naturally appears as your life on a momentary basis. So that's what I'm trying to say in that aspect.
Thank you. And then one last comment here from Shogun. By the way, I did fall in love with Tenshin Roshi's piece, Way of Realization. Might I use it as a reading?
Yeah, sure.
During the ZCLA end of year session. which I will be leading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I haven't sent it to Egyoku yet. I promised her I would, but I forgot, so I better do it. Yeah, thank you.
All right. I think that's everything. I may have missed something. If so, I do apologize. But I think we had a lot of great questions and
great
comments.
Yeah, great.